As the first terrorist suspect held at the U.S. detention facility at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, was transferred to New York City to stand trial in federal court, new revelations were published about the role former Vice President Cheney played in authorizing the torture of American-held prisoners. According to a report published in the Washington Post, Mr. Cheney personally oversaw at least four briefings with senior members of Congress where he defended the Bush administration's harsh interrogation program used against detainees at Guantanamo and elsewhere. The former vice president's direct role in defending the harsh interrogations had not previously been documented. Against this backdrop, a campaign is now underway to hold former Bush administration lawyers accountable for their role in authorizing torture. A broad coalition made up of 200 organizations filed complaints with state licensing boards on May 18th, seeking disciplinary action and disbarment of 12 attorneys who had advocated torture through the development of legal memos contravening U.S. law and international treaties banning torture. The 12 lawyers targeted are John Yoo, Jay Bybee, Stephen Bradbury, Alberto Gonzalez, John Ashcroft, Michael Chertoff, Alice Fisher, William Haynes II, Douglas Feith, Michael Mukasey, Timothy Flanagan, and David Addington. Between the lines, Scott Harris spoke with Kevin Zeese, executive director of VotersForPeace.us, and the attorney who signed the complaints against the 12 former Bush lawyers. He discusses the goal of the campaign to hold accountable all government officials who authorized torture of U.S.-held detainees.
The complaints are against 12 lawyers in the Bush White House, the Bush Department of Justice, and Department of Defense. And these lawyers were a critical part of the torture program. Without them, this program would not have occurred. There was a lot of dissension in the CIA and the FBI and DOD about torture. Many thought it was illegal. Many feared prosecution if they participated in torture. And so having this legal shield, as false as it was, having this legal shield, made this torture program go through. And there was just an article we put up today on VotersForPeace.us based on emails from one of the Department of Justice lawyers who opposed torture and how he was being pressured by David Addington, the counsel for Vice President Cheney. They were being pushed to sign off on this memo. He was a deputy attorney general. He warned the attorney general and lawyers in the Department of Justice that should not sign off on this, that it would come back to haunt them, that it was a mistake. And the reason it's a mistake is because these memoranda, they're not an honest analysis of the law. They totally warp and manipulate the law in order to come up with some kind of legal reasoning to justify torture. They really warp the law. Then they start by redefining torture. Rather than using the torture that's in the law, the Convention Against Torture, which Ronald Reagan signed and is the law of the United States now, an explicit definition of torture. If you do mental or physical harm to another person in questioning them, that's torture. It doesn't require organ damage, doesn't require near death, none of those factors that the Bush-Cheney lawyers put into the definition of torture, that's not even relevant. And so they had to redefine torture in order to make this work, and that's what they did. And they should, if lawyers who use their legal license to shield and facilitate war crimes should not have a legal license. It's that simple, and that's what the complaints are about. And we've gone against the ones who wrote the memos, the ones who reviewed the memos, the attorney generals who were responsible, all three Bush attorney generals, the White House counsel, Alberto Gonzalez, who later became attorney general, David Addington, who is the vice president's counsel, and there may be more complaints. We're looking at other lawyers in the CIA, some who are still in the CIA, and some who are left the CIA but were there, as well as some of the DOJ and Department of Justice and White House lawyers.
Kevin, what's the precedent for this kind of disciplinary action or disbarment in cases of torture or abuse of prisoners relating to federal government employees or people in the armed forces? What can you tell us about precedent here?
Well, torture, is not something that has been as openly out there as it was during the Bush and Cheney years. I mean, so it's kind of a new thing. For example, during the Watergate investigation, there were lawyers who were disbarred because of their actions in covering up those crimes. The legal ethics are pretty clear that you cannot use your license to facilitate crime. And your job as a lawyer is to give an honest legal opinion. And if you were giving an honest legal opinion about torture, you'd start with the definition of torture in the treaties and the law. You would explain that there are two treaties, the Convention Against Torture, the Geneva Convention, which we the United States led the effort to have passed around the world. There's two federal statutes, one against war crimes, one against torture explicitly, And the Army Field Manual prohibits any kind of improper treatment of criminals, even less than torture. You know, any kind of degrading treatment at all is against the Army Field Manual. So now Jay Bybee, and who's now a judge on the second highest court in the country, in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, one of the author writers, and John Yoo, there's an Office of Professional Responsibility review of their actions within the Department of Justice, and any day now they could come out with a report recommending disbarment. And if that happens, I think the disbarment of those two increases greatly, and I don't see why it stops there.
If these lawyers are disciplined or disbarred, what does your coalition think about the accountability of George W. Bush, former president, and his vice president, Dick Cheney, who apparently were very much involved in the day-to-day management of abuse and torture of detainees held at Guantanamo and elsewhere?
Well, in fact, just last week, the Washington Post reported that Dick Cheney went to some of those congressional briefings at a time when Congress was starting to question the torture techniques after the Abu Ghraib photos came out. Dick Cheney went up and really pushed the Congress to stay silent. And so he did play a role, and we know that much, and we know his lawyer was heavily involved in pushing. And our view basically is we need to do two things beyond the bar complaints. First, we need to have an honest and open investigation about what happened. And the openness is important because we need to have the country hear about it, talk about it, and decide that torture is wrong. And torture is wrong not just because it's illegal, but wrong because it's counterproductive to U.S. interests. It produces false information. And so I think an open discussion is the first thing. The second thing is we need to have an investigation by a special prosecutor who's independent of the Department of Justice and able to pursue the law and the facts, gather the facts, and apply the law. And if it goes up to the Attorney General, fine. Goes up to the Vice President, fine. The President, where it goes, it goes. Let the chips fall where they may, and if it leads to Nancy Pelosi, that's fine too. We need to hold people accountable so this does not happen again. War crimes like this are what destroy nations. And if we don't stop and look at it and deal with it, it will come back again and again. We've got to say, no, this is unacceptable, and people will be held responsible for it.
That was Kevin Zeese, Executive Director of VotersForPeace.us and a board member of the group VelvetRevolution.us. For more information on the campaign to disbar Bush administration attorneys who authorized torture, visit the coalition's website at disbartorturelawyers.com.